Good evening and welcome to the Healing Our Brokenness podcast, where we dissect problems and solutions that exist among broken people living in a broken world. And we also believe that everybody has a story. When we are walking through our stories, it leads to walking through our healing. And today we are on episode 85, praise the Lord. And we began a series last week that was entitled Begin to Declutter. We've already gone over decluttering our minds, decluttering our hearts, and decluttering our souls. That's exactly what it is. Declutter your body. At the beginning of the new year, and this is usually every single year, we are basically flooded with New Year's resolutions online and all over social media, in our small group conversations and et cetera. And a lot of the New Year's resolutions usually gear around getting fit, getting buff, so to speak, getting those abs and being ready, getting ready for the summer. And we all usually have a good start, but it's not necessarily a good ending. Even the health clubs and fitness clubs said they usually the attendance starts to taper off after a while, maybe 2-3 months in, and the whole resolution has gone down the drain. And when I was younger, like in my 20s as a young adult, I would say I would come up, and even sometimes in the 30s with New Year's resolutions. And what has happened within the last maybe 5-6 years, I stopped doing the New Year's resolutions, and I might come up with like a word of the year, so to speak, and along with a word of the year, come up with some goals for the new year. And that those goals usually deal with it can be emotional health, physical health, mental health. It can be spiritual health, professional health, professional wise, you know, having goals in that arena, but any and everything is up for grabs. But I usually come up with some goals and try to see, come up with a plan to get those goals completed. And it's nice to look at the end of the year, to look back and see what the goal list was and what I really got done based upon what was on that particular list. Now, when we declutter our bodies, we're not just decluttering our bodies. Decluttering our minds actually coincide with decluttering our bodies. And in scripture, we are told that our bodies are the temple of God. And what we end up doing, although our bodies are the temple of God, we forget oftentimes and we start putting anything and everything into it. And I mean anything and everything. And it's okay, of course, for us to treat ourselves every now and then to junk food. But sometimes we have a habit of going full force into junk food, so to speak. And we're like every day, all day. And then sometimes we're wondering why we're feeling sluggish and tired and unable to do the things that we need to do. And I know one while I had become vegetarian, and it probably was a 2-year adventure. I felt good and healthy doing it. However, vegetarian was not for me, even though the majority of my diet now is actually a vegetarian diet. But I realized that I need protein. And I need lots of it to help to coincide with my thyroid. And I know there are quite a few people who are diabetic who also try to boost their diets up with plenty of protein. And I am not saying that if you're vegetarian, you cannot get a lot of protein. As I said, the majority of my diet is vegetarian. What I have noticed is when I incorporate more meat, I feel better. And so my decision to add the meat back into my diet is what worked for me. And so when it comes to decluttering our bodies and removing the toxins out, our decisions should be according to what God has called us to do when it comes to our bodies, not what God has called our friends to do, our small groups to do, or anyone else. And a good thing about it is, once He's called us to do whatever it is He's called us to do, there might be a group of people who want to do the same thing. And it's good because then we can get that accountability. So it could be a group of people walking, a group of people running, jogging, eating certain foods together, just dancing, you name it. A group of people doing it together is kind of better in a sense when you think about it than trying to do it on your own. And I'm not saying it's impossible to do it on your own. It's just better for accountability. And then you've got that community along with that. So that's always an extra. And so going back to God's call for us, each and every person is called to do something differently with their body. And sometimes God calls us into a similar lifestyle as far as eating is concerned. And sometimes it's totally different. But that is a lot of times where we can get into trouble is when we are trying to have the exact same lifestyle that someone else has when God has not called us to do that. In Daniel, we are giving the situation where he was basically tried to be forced to follow the king's eating plan, his food and his wine. And Daniel decided that he was not going to defile himself with the king's lifestyle. He stuck to what God had called him to do specifically for his body. And what was decided is that, okay, if this does not work out, then you would have to go along with the king's plan. However, because Daniel was faithful in what God had specifically planned and called him to do with his body, God blessed it. And the king, in turn, went along with Daniel continuing in his lifestyle. As a matter of fact, he was in better shape than the other men. And when we do what it is that we have been called to do according to what we know God has set out for us, whether it's our calling or our bodies, our children, that's when we benefit. And then in scripture, when we move over, it's over, and I want to say that book of Acts is when Peter was told by God to not call anything clean that God has called clean. And so a lot of times we can get to a situation where God has convicted us about eating something or not eating something, and we try to project onto others about doing the same behavior. That has not been God's call on that person's life. It is His call on our lives. And our ability to be able to respect that is of the utmost importance. And so when we don't respect that, we leave people feeling bad about what they're eating. They are insecure and wondering if they're doing the right thing. And then we are not showing the love of Christ because we're not honoring and respecting what it is that God has called them to do or whatever stage they are in for the present moment. And sometimes when we end up making changes to our own lives, whether it's with our eating, that part of our lifestyle, or it could be dealing with our emotions better or processing things mentally, whatever it is that we are making changes in. Sometimes we're making so many changes in ourselves that we start trying to change everyone else, and others might not be, may or may not be ready. And then we may still need to be in the baby stages of making those changes. And sometimes when we make changes in certain areas, it may not necessarily be so much that we were called to do them. It may be that that's an area of brokenness for us that might be caused by, for example, an eating disorder or just disordered thinking in general when it comes to food and food-related issues, because it's something that we can control. And I have been around other people and where the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and let me know that this is an area of control. This is part of brokenness for them. This is not so much as a lifestyle. And it's because if we are constantly harping on what someone else is eating, harping on so much on what someone else is weighing and that type of thing, to the point of like controlling and getting on the person's nerve, that is brokenness. We have not dealt with our own issues. And even if we're down to where we belong, but we're still harping on someone else, that is brokenness still. We still have some renewal of our mind that needs to take place. We are still with disordered thinking and toxic thinking ourselves. So even though we have done the physical part and we look good, we could still be lacking in decluttering our minds. And decluttering our bodies is not a one-time thing. Well, today I'm going to do it. I'll do it for 2 weeks and then I'll go back. It is a lifestyle. And it's not about not treating ourselves, but decluttering our bodies is a lifestyle. And living healthy is a lifestyle. And decluttering our bodies as far as the food is concerned is not the only area that we need to declutter our bodies in. Like I said, food is not the only thing. It could be exercise, our lack thereof, or exercising too much, which also can lead into the area of where it deals with brokenness and perfectionism. If we are exercising too much, if we're exercising too little, then we might need to motivate ourselves. Let me get up off the couch. I've been sitting all down all day. Let me stand up for 2 hours and work on get a stand-up desk and work on our laptops at home, or put it on the breakfast bar and stand up and type. Different manners of being able to get ourselves moving, walking up and down the stairs during the day, that type of thing. And then sometimes decluttering our bodies is actually getting rid of some of the inflammation in our bodies that is residing inside of it because of burnout, the beginnings of burnout or just exhaustion. And sometimes we go around and we're bragging to each other about how much we've gotten done that day, have not given ourselves any type of decompressing time to restore our soul, nothing that's restorative. We're just going and checking off on our list and like, oh, this is great. Look at everything I've done. But then we have gotten to the point where we're not stopping. It's become brokenness. It's something we can control and check off a list. We're striving and hustling. But at the end of the day, we have not restored our souls. We've not been good stewards over our bodies. So decluttering our bodies is not just the food we put inside, the exercise or lack thereof, but it's getting the proper rest that we need. And when it comes to the activities and the risk of burnout, what happens is either we stop the excessive activities and extracurriculars, or the activities are the ones that are going to stop us. Some of the things to keep in mind when we talk about decluttering our bodies is getting rid of the toxic thinking that goes along with decluttering our bodies. And that goes in the areas of body image, exercise, it could be sexual immorality. And one thing about it too is that it can be easier to believe that our thoughts are going to be fine once our physical bodies are fine. But as we just talked about, a lot of times that's the second part of doing it, not just looking good, but figuring out what is going on in my mind that has caused me to fall astray in the first place. And if we watch a lot of shows, whether it was like Biggest Loser or other shows like that, a lot of times there is a doctor on board, or sometimes even a psychiatrist, who encourages people to go and talk to a therapist. And usually that person is refusing and said they have control over it. But the thing about it is the doctor is trying to explain, we don't get to a certain point overnight. Our health does not get bad overnight. It's usually a series of choices that we're making. And a lot of times our eating patterns are patterns that's coming from us using eating as a coping mechanism rather than a point of being able to be sustenance for our bodies. So it all depends on what the root cause is of that eating. And a lot of times it is emotional and us feeling safe and having our bodies a certain way. And we have to also remind ourselves as we're working with these thoughts, decluttering our thoughts and our minds to work along with decluttering our bodies, that we have to cast down the spiritual forces that are up against us when we are trying to steward our bodies well. And the scripture verse that comes to mind for me is casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We want to cast them down. And then we also want to be constantly in prayer to the Lord, asking him to give us strength. We want to find other people in a support group and or small group to help us to be accountable. And then sometimes we just need to flee. Sometimes we're in the grocery store, we're too tempted, or in a certain area. And, you know, sometimes we just have to flee, literally, in order to be able to make the choice that's going to make a difference in our bodies being decluttered. And then another thing is that I found for myself, when we are in a moment of stillness, we are able to feel the cravings that our bodies have. We can feel our bodies craving for whatever hole or fix, so to speak, that it's trying to get. And a lot of that will come during those moments of silence and stillness, where our bodies and our souls have the time to restore and relax. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, what is my body doing? And this is not good. And we can also begin to make changes in that respect. So I hope that something was said today that resonated with you, that's helpful with you in beginning to declutter your body. And just remembering that when we're decluttering our bodies, we're also respecting our bodies, and we're respecting other people's bodies and valuing and honoring their choices as well. And I want to thank you for listening to episode 85, Begin to Declutter Your Body. And I want to give a shout out to Timothy Horton for the intro and outro music that's coming in every week. And that song is Valley of Grace on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and Amazon Music. And then I also want to ask you to do me a favor. If the Valley of Grace's Healing Our Brokenness podcast is making a difference in your life, if you could please let others know. They can subscribe on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Healing Our Brokenness is out there in several places. Until next time. So much.